Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Words are important. This morning we broke out that word which we have not said for so long, Alleluia, so that we could say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. When I was young, I was one of those weird kids who read all of the time. And my mother would catch me every once in a while reading my favorite book, which was The Dictionary. I mean, it was actually either Tolkien or The Dictionary in equal parts. But I loved to read The Dictionary. I loved the richness of words. Well, this week I learned a new word. It's actually end of last week. Not, alas, from The Dictionary, but from Words with Friends. And that, if you've never played that, you should. It's good for your soul. Not for your marriage, but good for your soul. And this word of the day came through, and the word was compathy. Yeah, see, even the wordsmiths are going, that's a new one. Compathy. So, of course, we had to look it up. Well, compathy is related to empathy and sympathy. You kind of get the idea. It came into use in the early 19th century, mid-19th century. And the word means to feel with another, but not participate or be moved to action. Compathy. We know about empathy. Empathy moves us, right? Empathy, we feel with a person, and it stirs in us a desire to either help or accompany or be with someone. But compathy, you may feel sad, and I get that you feel sad, and I might even feel a bit sad myself, but I'm not going to do anything about it. So often we stop at compathy. Because to move any further than compathy is just too difficult. In this Easter, we find a God who does not stop at compathy, who does not cease to act with just feeling what we feel and then moving on with the busyness of the world. But in the life and passion, death and rising of Jesus, we encounter a God who feels what we feel and knows what we know with such intimacy, with such familiarity, that God is moved to act. For Jesus knows the joy of laughter and love, for he has laughed and loved with us. He knows disappointment and frustration. It drives me crazy to look through Augsburg Fortress Sunday school books, because Jesus is white and very well adjusted. He never gets mad. He never gets angry. He's just steady like that annoying counselor that you send your children to. But Jesus knows passion. That wonderful scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus goes off to pray and he leaves the disciples. And what do? It'd been a long week. They fell asleep. And depending on how you read that, Jesus comes back and he says, oh, you've fallen asleep again. And then he goes off and prays. But the text lends itself to hearing Jesus mounting frustration with those who follow him. What? Are you asleep again? He knows laughter and joy and love, and God knows who we are so deeply that God will go to the cross, that our brokenness might be healed. It would be enough for God simply to have been raised from the dead and celebrate the miracle of the day. But that would be compathy. In this resurrection, we are called more than simply feeling what others feel. We are called to move into the world in the fullness that Christ moved into the world. And we are called to make a difference. For the resurrection is an act of transformation, not only from death into life, but from life into life most full. And so we, like the disciples, are called out of our shells, out of our upper rooms, and we are sent into the world for the sake of the world. Earlier this week, I saw this wonderful interview with a couple of cardinals, and the interview was about Pope Francis. Because, you know, it's Easter, and if you're at Easter, you have to talk about the Pope. So they asked the cardinal, so what do you think of this Pope? He thought for a moment, and I thought, I know exactly what he's thinking of the Pope, but he thought for a moment, and he gravely said, many Catholics, most Catholics, feel very good about this Pope. But others are afraid. And then they started showing the headlines. It was amazing. Pope says being gay isn't so bad. Pope says we should care for the poor. Pope says maybe we might ordain women. And the cardinal said, the problem is Francis feels so keenly, this sense of service and love, that he's not worried about the rest of the stuff. He's calling us to be like Jesus. And for some, that is more than we can bear. How very true. This Jesus, who was raised from the dead, and these disciples who stood around that garden that night or that morning, early in the morning, those women and men who had been apprehended by the vision of Jesus found themselves swept up in the resurrection to make a difference, to do ministry for life. Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb, but she could not stay there. She too will go and tell the disciples and the world. So let's avoid compathy. I want to challenge us to a very small step. Be fine for us to sit and celebrate this morning with candles and brass. Well done, gentlemen. Disappointed that you didn't have the music for the one part, but that's okay. It was good. It would be fine if we just left this place and felt really wonderful and excellent about the way everything went. But what if we left here with a mission? With a small way in which we could make a difference in the world and heal brokenness? Of all days, to bring a new program, and by the way, programs don't solve much, but we're going to give it a try. We're starting something new in our congregation. So we have decided to begin to work with one of the biggest problems facing our island and our state, which is homelessness. We thought for a long time, frankly, about what it was that we could do. It is such a gigantic problem. What can one little congregation in the middle of Makiki do about all of this stuff? but we chose to do something small rather than nothing at all. So we're participating with our partners at IHS and Family Promise to do a shallow subsidy. So what we're going to do is ask each of you to give a one-time gift or pledge $5 or whatever dollars a month that you want to pledge so that we can help a family stay in their housing. It seems kind of weird, right? We should probably be helping someone to get housing, which we will also do in some other ways. But what we've discovered through research is that once someone drops out of their housing, it is exponentially more expensive to get them back into housing than if we had helped them stay in the first place. So we'll ask you to give of yourself. And we have the famous chart with dots. Mary. You'll see a house on the back bulletin board. And every time someone gives for that or makes a pledge for this particular project, we want to fill the house. And if we have enough pledges to do a monthly subsidy for one family, great. If we have enough for two families, wonderful. If we have enough for 10 families, wouldn't that be awesome? And it will cost us really no more than had the disciples stayed awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a small way for us to move from compathy to transformation. To celebrate not just the idea of the resurrection, but the reality of the world made whole in Christ. So that when we say Alleluia, it is as if we too have found that wonderful Easter egg, which is for us the joy of Jesus risen and the hope of Christ for all time. So in your bulletin somewhere, there was supposed to be a pledge card. It's Holy Week. It's not there. We didn't get it done. We're sorry. But instead, we put in an envelope. There's an envelope there. You can use that as your pledge card. Write your name. You can put a check in there and say, I want to give $10,000 for, I'm sorry, $10 for housing subsidy. Or you can write on there, I'm going to pledge $5 a month. This is a one-year project. We're going to do this for 1 year. And if we are still passionate about it at the end, we'll do it again. And we too will be transformative in Christ. Amen.